Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Glad to have you along on this Christmas Eve. Glad to be here for the, I guess not the final time of the year. That'll be next Thursday, but nearing the end of 2021. And so it's good stuff. We're going to talk about a bunch of different things. There's a topic hanging out there that I think we'll get to on Monday, because it's a heavy topic, and it's one that's probably going to make a bunch of people mad, and I don't want to do that before Christmas. Okay. I don't want to ruin the Christmas season, especially of maybe one fan base in this state, by discussing that kind of low-hanging fruit. So we're going to keep away from that until
what
Monday.
Could that be?
Racing cars and killing people is what it is. Deshaun Brown, Jared.
Oh, I was Deshaun thinking like Brown. Street Outlaws.
No,
or something.
Well,
oh.
that may be what was happening. Okay. Some poor guy got in the way, or some poor kid got in the way.
Oh.
We'll talk about that on Monday.
Yeah,
this is always a topic that will cheer up people in the state of Oklahoma. And I'm reminded. I pulled up ESPN's website today, and I see this headline, and it reminds me why I'll never like the Golden State Warriors.
There's a lot of reasons why I don't, but I'd like to know.
There's one that just reminds it. I just saw this and I went, "Ugh, well, that's why I don't like them. They just whine all the time." So, we'll hit that. NFL stuff. We didn't get to the quarterbacks that could be available, the free agent quarterbacks, maybe trade quarterbacks available in trade. There's a few teams that kind of feel like, man, if they just had that quarterback situation resolved, that they would be really strong contenders for Super Bowls. Can they do that next year? With some of these guys, I mentioned the Pro Bowlers announced. We didn't say that yesterday. We didn't talk about them, but there were some Pro Bowlers. The Pro Bowl teams were announced. And what are the best games this week in the NFL? And then at the top of the show, let's see what Jared's going to do for Christmas. What are his plans for the Christmas holiday? What are some of maybe our favorite traditions and the like? And so we would love for you guys to chime in. What do you want? What are you asking Santa for Christmas this year? 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. We're going to be outside the listening area. Stay in touch with the show a couple of different ways. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things Paragon Radio, Penny News, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV, it's got it all, as well as then the Skinny on Sports podcast, KADSAM.com, or iTunes. If you miss the show entirely, go find us those ways. And if you go the iTunes route, you can subscribe, and then we'll alert you when a new podcast drops. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
Man, I was fully ready to come in here today and start proclaiming my 49ers, as they were up 10-0 at half, looking good. Been on the 49er bandwagon for the last couple of years, last couple of weeks, as they've really turned things around, started playing great football, and then you kind of got the reminder of why the 49ers are the 49ers, and that's because Jimmy G is going to figure out a way to Jimmy G.
Yep.
Throwing the two picks. Randy Bullock kicks the field goal at the end for the Titans, and the Niners lose 20-17. I mean, when it was 10-0 at halftime, I got a text saying, are these your 49ers yet now? And I text back and said, I can't wait for tomorrow, because it's going to be talking about my Niners and we and us, and now they're just the 49ers who lost to the Titans. Still in good shape to make the playoffs, but it's not quite as exciting to talk about the Niners as it was, say, at halftime of that game last night.
Well, they did our Dallas Cowboys a favor with that win.
Yeah, Cowboys are officially
or loss,
in.
I mean, now that the Cowboys are officially in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
So there's that. All right, weren't you, didn't that give you solace in the fact that
well,
they
I
lost?
Mean, listen,
didn't that help things?
I already knew that was going to happen.
We all knew that, but when it's a when it now it's 100% true.
It would have taken an epic epic collapse. Matter of fact, I don't even think it could have happened. I'm not 100% sure why they weren't already in the playoffs.
Before last night I saw there was like 99% chance they're in. So there's that one. There is a scenario out there, but you're right. It would have involved an epic collapse, not only from them, but from around them. They'd have to have help to get knocked out of the playoffs, right?
I'm trying to figure out how they haven't already clinched the division.
I don't know. Yeah, there's a. I googled that the other day, and I cannot remember the explanation.
Is division record not the? I guess Philly could tie it. Yeah, there must be, because they would be 4-2 even if they lost all three. Dallas would be 4-2 in the division, 8-4 in the conference. Philly has nothing but division games. Yeah, I guess there's a way. Looking at it, where they tie division record, they tie conference record, then who knows what it goes to after that? Probably record against the third team. And Philly would have swept Washington and Dallas would split, something like that.
All right, let's see this. I googled it, and, of course, I get a 200-word article when all I probably needed was 20 words, right?
I don't know. It may take more than 20 to explain how this works.
The easiest among the easiest is Philadelphia losing on Sunday. That's the
– Oh, to win the division?
To win the division.
Or Dallas wins.
Yeah. Let me see. But that's I'm just going by what's easiest. Okay. I'm just going, this is straight from DallasCowboys.com. Having just beaten Washington on Tuesday night, that being Philly, the Eagles will host the Giants at noon on Sunday, currently set at 7-7. The Eagles are still capable of matching the Cowboys' win total.
Mm-hmm.
A loss would obviously change that, thereby clinching the division for Dallas if the Giants win.
Here's I can tell you why they started with Philly losing. Because that game happens first.
True. Yes, because Dallas plays at night.
That's right.
Yep. If Philly manages to win, there's still a path to the division title before the Cowboys kick off, though it's slightly convoluted. Comes down to the strength of victory tiebreaker.
Oh, dear.
Strength of victory tiebreaker. In the event that the Cowboys were to lose all their remaining games,
okay,
and the Eagles to win all of theirs, both clubs would finish with 10-7 records.
Mm-hmm.
They'd also finish with identical 4-2 division records,
correct,
including a split of their two-game season series,
mm-hmm,
not to mention identical 7-5 records in common games and 8-4 records in NFC play.
So it's common games first before the conference games.
Right.
Because the conference would be 8-4 as well, okay? Then it gets to this.
So clearly you can see this is going to get tricky. In this scenario, it would come down to strength of victory, which is the fifth tiebreaker in the NFL's rule book. Strength of victory is essentially the combined records of the opponents that a given team has beaten, kind of like strength of schedule. That means there,
yeah, except for the ones you beat instead, yeah, of the ones you played.
Yeah, that means there are several games this weekend that can swing strength of victory in the Cowboys' favor. It makes it as simple as possible. There are six games that affect the Cowboys and Eagles' strength of victory: Atlanta versus Detroit, Minnesota versus the Rams, New York Jets versus Jacksonville, Buffalo versus New England, Chargers versus Houston, Denver versus Las Vegas. Did you get all that?
Yeah,
sit down
I get
and
it.
Watch all those games. And
well, I understand because some of those teams you're naming Dallas beat.
Yeah.
And so if they can win, then that victory looks even better.
Yeah.
Right? And just looking at I found that right now.
Did you find that article?
No, I found the strength of victory as we speak. Dallas is his point. I assume you want the higher number here, just like strength of schedule. Because I think this is records of the teams you beat.
Right.
Is what this is.
Yeah.
Like by a percentage. So right now, strength of victory for Dallas is .450, 45%
mm-hmm,
win percentage. Philly is .372. Now, here's the deal. But Philly beating Dallas strengthens their strength of victory better than Dallas beating Philly.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But anyway, essentially, if Philly would have to win them all, Dallas have to lose them all, and all kinds of hell break loose
exactly
for Dallas not to be the division champ.
Listen, one on Sunday, root for the Giants, right? And if that doesn't happen, just keep rooting for the Cowboys and win. I mean,
yeah,
they win, take care of their own business, they'll be okay. Somebody posted after Philly beat Washington, was it Tuesday night? My week this week is so
crazy.
Yeah,
Tuesday.
Somebody posted who I thought would know because this guy who clearly is outside of our listening area, was dumb, but I thought he was a big Dallas Cowboys, or he is a big Dallas Cowboys fan. He posts a big picture of him and says, NFC champs, da, da, da. I'm thinking, that's not right. They're not, because then I'm immediately thinking, okay, if they're NFC champs, I can go online and buy an NFC champs t-shirt, and I couldn't find one anywhere. I'm like, this isn't right. That's not right.
So NFC quick. Champs?
NFC East champs.
Okay, I was going to say, good grief.
East.
I like where this is headed. Yeah, that NFC, means they're in the Super Bowl.
NFC East champs. I thought, I don't think that's right, man.
It's not yet.
And this guy lives in the heart of Texas, and he had it wrong.
Well, that's okay. It's easy, too, because when you look at it, and Dallas has had what seems like a 3 or 4 game lead the entire way in the division after a handful of games.
It's easy to
label
them.
It's like, golly,
that.
Why aren't they why haven't they won the division yet?
Philly's come on. Philly's going to be serious. I mean, they have to take care of Philly. But you'd like to have that wrapped up before you have to take care of them, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And when you think about it, so Philly plays, they have nothing but division games. They play the Giants, then they play the Skins or the football team.
Whoa.
Then they play the Cowboys.
Canceled.
Now, here's the deal. This could get kind of hairy.
It could.
If Dallas doesn't, if Philly wins on Sunday and Dallas loses to Washington, which is not beyond the scope of possibility. We all know that. If anybody that follows the Dallas Cowboys is already kind of scared about what I'm about to say because they figured it out in their head as I'm talking. You lose to Washington, then who's next? All of a sudden it's Kyler and the Cardinals. Conceivably lose that one. Philly's playing Washington. Then all of a sudden here we are with what you're talking about. Going to Philly. Week 17, or week 18, I guess, for game 17 with the division on the line. You know, that's always worked out in the past, going to Philly with the division on the line.
Oh, boy.
That's always been great stuff.
No,
Cowboys have really thrived in that situation.
No.
So here's what I'm telling you. Beat Washington. Washington is a walking COVID ward. Beat them.
Yes.
And then you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's one thing to lose to Philly with, like, the one seed on the line. Oh, well, you're still the two or the whatever. It's another to lose with the division on the line. Don't do that.
Listen.
The only good news is, and that whole thing, is what you said to start this. Because San Francisco lost, Dallas cannot be eliminated from the playoffs.
Exactly, yeah. It's funny you say that because then I click on the pro shop and there's already playoff t-shirts available. but as Dallas fans, aren't we prepared for anything? Would anything shock us?
Winning all three and making it just simple.
That'd shock you?
That would shock me. Winning all three. And, you know, that would mean a win over the Cardinals.
Here's one that's more shocking for me. More shocking than that. Winning all three and somehow getting the one seed.
Well, that's what I was just sitting here looking because right now, beating the Cardinals, just if everybody wins, right, around, beating – oh, no, wait a minute. The Rams are 10-4 also. Never mind. Scratch that. Because I was thinking beating the Cardinals would make it a two-way tie between Dallas and Tampa, and then obviously the tiebreaker is week one, Tampa's win against the Cowboys. But now that L.A. is up there at 10-4 as well – beating the Cardinals drops them out of that tie, but it's still three ways, which at that point goes to conference record, which Dallas has already got that with one win, has that wrapped up between those three teams.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tampa, well, no, the Rams are 7-3. So that one would tie it. Anyhow, the point is, outside of that loss to Tampa, all the other tiebreak scenarios are way in the Cowboys' favor. Everything is.
Yeah,
because
it is.
The conference record is they have the best one in the NFC. They're the only team with one loss to an NFC team.
That's true.
Green Bay's got two. The Rams have three. Everybody else with four or more.
Yeah.
And you would assume that you would have to win out in order to be in the conversation for the one seed, right?
Yeah, that's
you're going to have to win out. So, yeah, so that
Green
means,
Bay's not going to help you here. You got to win out.
Well, and hope
then,
they lose.
And then, of course, Tampa Bay is on your heels.
Well, all that needs to happen is Dallas went out, Green Bay lose once, and Dallas is the one seed.
Is the one seed.
Because of that conference record. Green Bay plays Cleveland.
I was just looking for that.
The Vikings and the Bears, maybe? No, the Lions.
The Lions.
Cleveland at home, Vikings at home, and then at Lions.
I'll make a deal with you, Detroit. I'll take you out of my bottom three if you can win that game.
anyhow, I mean, that may be – who knows? I mean, it's
– then that's the only road game is at Detroit.
That's right. So, I mean, it's definitely possible. Yeah. It definitely is. I mean, what's Green Bay won in a row? It feels like they won a bunch of them in a row.
Three in a row, four out of five.
Okay, so it's not as many as I thought.
That they Vikings lost two of the Vikings, so that's something.
Yeah, and you know what? That was a game that it shows you 34-31, but it feels like wasn't that a game the Vikings were ahead, way ahead at one point? Maybe not.
Looking at the box right now. I'm gonna go back through here. It was
23-10.
Yeah.
After the first drive of the second half.
Green Bay scored a couple of touchdowns in the fourth.
They hit that long play. Remember that? Green Bay hit the long one to Marquise Valdes-Scantling. Like it to 2 minute warning.
Yeah.
To tie it.
And they did this. Minnesota beat them with my man Justin Jefferson only having one catch for 3 yards. They took him out of the game. They still won.
Still won.
So, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Hey. I don't think so.
I think he had a big game.
I'm going to go back and go ahead and edit that.
Yeah, I think he had a huge game, actually.
I was looking at rushing. Sorry.
Yeah.
He had a rush for 3 yards.
Or 8 catches, 169, and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, excuse me. He had a day.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Remember, that was we even talked about that game on that Monday.
Skinny on sports, not the dummy on sports.
Because it was so much fun. That was a fun game.
That was the game, the noon kickoff game.
Yes.
And I had that one on. I couldn't turn off. I thought.
Yeah, it was a great, fun game to watch.
Yeah, I was thinking, man, this should be Monday Night Football. This is awesome.
It was like 2011 Big 12.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's – well, guys, right. Let's just keep on. What are the best games? I think we had the potential to have a couple really good ones on Christmas Day. With Cleveland at Green Bay, I think I saw where Baker has been released out of captivity, so he's going to be able to play.
Asymptomatic, non-spreading.
Yeah, he's out.
Self is out.
He's out. So they'll be at
Did
Lambeau.
You see that? That's a whole other topic we could talk about.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking about that. We're trying to keep it happy.
What are we doing here?
We're trying to keep it happy.
I was like, that headline actually made me happy.
Yeah,
it actually did.
Got that one in the Indian Arizona. Does that feel like a must-win for Arizona?
Yes.
Or otherwise, the train is off the tracks.
Yes.
It's a tough one, too.
Yes.
Indy's good. Indy had the most Pro Bowlers with 7. Did you realize that?
No.
Indianapolis, 7 Pro Bowlers.
You were high on them to start the year, so kudos to you.
They just kind of went through that lull there. What, two? They lost the first 3.
That's, yeah. That could be one of those sneaky dark horse teams.
And
you're right. If Arizona loses, do you hear? Now listen, you know how it works.
I'm 7 of 9.
Do you know how it works? I don't care what your record is, but it's what you've done for me lately and how you end the season. Would there be rumblings about Kingsbury?
Man,
he's doing the same thing he did in Lubbock. He cannot finish a season.
How much of it, though, when you think about what happened at Lubbock all those years and how eerily similar it has been here, too, with last year and then this year, and you know what it's all kind of been predicated on? His quarterback's not staying healthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's even when Arizona was rolling, the only undefeated team or what have you, we were all sitting here going, yeah, man, it's great. They can be number one, but all they are is a Kyler injury away from this thing going downhill. Mm-hmm. And now he's still playing, but how much of a toll, and so far it looks like a ton, does the rigors of an NFL season put on that little body that Kyler Murray has? I mean, so far it's kind of been a repeating pattern. Of start out great, get nicked up, and then once you're nicked, even though you're out there, you're still not able to do what makes you great. Mm-hmm. You don't have that burst. Even if you're not trying to run all the time, just the threat of it scares teams enough to where that helps you out. Or just running around making a play, you know, with your arm. that almost nobody else in the league can do. But when you take that threat away, then he's just kind of a guy. Man, I mean, he's still got just a cannon, and he's still all the – but that
– it gives me pause if I'm a GM of drafting a guy like that. No knock on Kyler, because we saw firsthand here in Norman how awesome he is and explosive a player he is. But I like the whole – I like the term full circle. It feels like if I'm a GM, like, man, yeah, I'm going to look dumb if I pass on a kid like this. But I'd sure love that pro-style quarterback who's going to be upright most of the time and make the good decisions and not tuck it and run and get hit and then put his body at risk like you talked about.
Yeah, and
you know, I want my Joe Montana. I know Joe ran around a lot, but you know what I mean.
Brady, Peyton.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, Rogers moves, though.
Brady's a great example. Look how long he's been in the, he's not a – you know, he'll get what he can and get down, but you know what? Yeah, he's a great example of what you want as a quarterback in this league, and it's a pro-style quarterback. I know the flashy thing now is run it and spinning and winning and all that, but you want longevity at the QB1 position? You want that pro-style guy.
And it's pretty interesting, too, because all the rage in college is dual threat because it's so hard to defend.
Well, that's fine and dandy for 3.5 years.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
But what you're talking about here, I mean, when you look up, the dude that might be the MVP of the league is 43.
Yeah.
He ain't running around.
No.
Never has. He's way more likely to duck away and take a sack than he is try to get out of the pocket. And so maybe that's something that these guys that are able to use their athleticism. I mean, even the other night against the Rams, it felt like Kyler ducked out of a sack or two from Donald to not take a hit. Instead, like almost discretion was the better part of valor. Instead of trying to run around and get away from him and maybe not get there, he said, nope, and just, you know, sat down.
Yeah.
Which is not something you're used to seeing from guys like him or Lamar and those type of players. But maybe that's something, you know, when you see the opening, you have to take it. For, you know, on 3rd and 6, if, you know, everybody's in man coverage and it's obviously a first down, which he's really good about sliding, really good about getting out of bounds. But it's those plays down in the red zone when it's 3rd and 2 and you run the keep, you kind of have to sacrifice your body for the first down. And I think that's something that they're going to have to look at for the long term. How many of those plays can we afford to have him run?
Yeah.
Think about this. What was it, 2 years ago? I think it was the Chiefs Super Bowl winning year. Pat Mahomes got hurt on a quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
Guess what you're not seeing the Chiefs do anymore?
Yeah.
Quarterback sneak. You know what I mean? I'm serious.
Yes.
I mean, that's the most simple, least contact play for a as far as like hard-hitting types of plays that you can think of. And he almost tore his ACL. And they're not doing it anymore. You don't see them run quarterback
That's
sneak
true.
Anymore.
No.
Andy Reese said, nope.
No more.
We'll do something else. We'll hand it to Tyreek flying around the edge. But we're not doing that anymore.
It just makes me think, is there a spot for a quarterback like Kyler Murray in this league if GMs start going back to the old ways of drafting a quarterback? You know, if you go, you know, the
always
the athletic special talent is there. Are they more like, okay, I'm going to bring you in as a cube or as our backup, or I'm going to find a spot for you in a different position?
No.
Or I'm going to just straight up get you as a quarterback?
No, they're
going to
be a quarterback because when he's healthy, he's fantastic. You can't stop him.
Yeah.
You just got to figure.
There's a difference between healthy week 2 and healthy week
14. Yeah, but you've got that's where the risk reward on certain plays on first, you know what I'm, on third downs in a game that really doesn't matter in the regular season. You know, it's almost like, to me, there's going to be situations where you're going to see this more and more with these guys. It's almost like, you know, when you're watching like a basketball game and a guy has 4 fouls early in the fourth quarter, but the coach trusts him to play, like in college or even in high school or whatever. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you see, okay, go ahead. You're playing defense. You've got 4 fouls. Somebody kind of has you beat to the bucket. Have it.
Right.
Because that 2 points – isn't near as important as these next 6 minutes of me being able to play the game.
Yeah.
And so maybe that, you know, that first down that kept a drive alive that scored a touchdown, yeah, that 4 points, we got a field goal anyway. You know, to just call in different plays to keep the risk at as minimum as possible for them to get hit. I mean, everybody's going to get hit in the pocket just because pressure, you know, you're going to get hit in the pocket.
Yeah.
But the extra hits, limiting those extra hits outside of the pocket where he's able to get to a certain spot on the field because of his athleticism, but that leads to taking a hit, mm-hmm. whereas other guys can't, and they just go down or they throw it away. And maybe that's another thing that he's going to have to become more in tuned at is just, listen, I know it's cool when you scramble around and you make a completion, but it's going to be third down next play. Throw the damn thing away. Don't get hit, and let's move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's the problem is you can't really coach that into somebody because it's innate ability that makes those plays.
Yeah, sure. It's that sixth sense of knowing when to tuck it and go, and that's what Kyler has. He has that special sixth sense of seeing that crease and that little bit of a lane to know, yeah, I could at least get the first down, maybe more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I don't know if that's just, if that's what you want for an entire season if you're a coach or a GM. That's what I question.
Yeah, well, that's where it goes back to play calling. And but the problem is you can call the perfect play and the defense defends it well.
Sure.
You're taking off running.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other games, Baltimore-Cincinnati, that's a huge one in the AFC North.
Yes, it is.
I think the Bengals actually lead that division right now.
They do.
With the tie-breaking situations. But, you know, we saw last week on Monday night or Monday afternoon that game, Cleveland losing to the Raiders literally dropped them from first to last because that thing is so bunched up. Everybody plays everybody, it feels like, down the stretch, or at least one, maybe two division games coming up for everybody in that division. And so even, you know, the Browns at 7-7, to me, if they find a way to beat Green Bay and then win the other two, they're liable to win the division, if not for sure in the playoffs. So I don't think there's anybody out of it in the AFC North, but there's certainly nobody that has a control over the thing either.
No, I'd like to see Cincinnati win this thing, this whole thing. And not because my brother-in-law keeps pressuring me to say that on air, but because I like Joe Burrow and just the turnaround with this. And what we were talking about this yesterday, Joe Mixon's had this really nice, quiet, productive year. And it'd be a nice story to see them move on. I didn't know there was nothing to do in Cincinnati. See what Joe
said? I did see that.
I thought Cleveland was the place there was nothing to do.
Maybe just Ohio.
Maybe the state of Ohio as a whole is.
It was funny how mad everybody got about that.
Oh, well, give me a break.
Listen.
Hey, they're staying healthy.
That's right.
There's nothing to do or nowhere to go in Cincinnati, apparently.
Yeah, lack of – the headline here is lack of nightlife keeping Bengals healthy, according to Joe Burrow. That's a way to endure yourself to the fans.
It doesn't help your free agent market.
But here's the thing, though. I mean, if anybody should know this, it's Joe Burrow. He's an Ohio
he's
guy.
He's from Ohio.
Yeah, he knows this.
He's with you guys. He's an Ohioan. Is that it?
Ohioan.
Ohio-nite.
Ohioan. He knows. Buffalo, New England.
Yeah,
that's essentially an AFC East
New England losing championship for the game. First time in like a month and a half. Buffalo. That one could be fun. At New England too.
Yeah, that one's a good one. Here's something interesting because we've all been loving everything the Patriots have done, and for good reason. Listen, they've been good. Probably better than everybody realized. I think if anybody was hurt by the opt-outs of COVID last year, they are at the top of the list. I think they literally had the most, and it was really important guys. Like 7 or 8 guys opted out of playing. And that led to a horrible record, and they didn't look very good. Then fast forward to the next year, they draft a quarterback who has been sufficient. Listen, Mac Jones hasn't been this all-world. You know how I know he's not? Hasn't been? Because really nobody's talking about him being the offensive rookie of the year, and he's leading the team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's a center in Kansas City's getting more love than the quarterback of the Patriots. So let's slow down on the Mac Jones all-pro talk. But I tell you what they have done.
He's in a perfect position with all that,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and they're physical, and Belichick keeps him in games, and he doesn't have to do too much. But the thing is, though, there have been times when he's had to do it, he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that Cowboys game. He threw a couple just absolute dimes when he had to.
They won the digs too.
Yeah, and then he didn't. But that'll be a really good game. Here's the thing. Patriots, yeah, it's been awesome. Great job. Doing well. They better win this one.
Or
my Dolphins are hanging there. My Dolphins are hanging around. They got at Saints, at Titans all of a sudden looks a little bit tougher. But then they host the Pats that last week. That could be interesting to see where all the chips have fallen in the AFC and whether or not that's a play-in game into the playoffs with the Dolphins winning 7 in a row at this point.
For some reason, Pittsburgh at Kansas City stands out to me. Pittsburgh is kind of one of those teams, like, they hang around with the team and then they can get a win. And they're very familiar with Kansas City. But it's at Kansas City. But something about that game kind of stands out to me. Quick first reaction. I'm going to name a game. I want you to tell me the winner. Okay? Ready? Jags, Jets. Go.
Jets.
Your boy.
Jets. Zach Wilson's going to rub your nose in it.
Because your boy.
Zach Wilson's going to rub your nose in it, Jared.
All right.
And there were zero people watching that.
No.
Outside of Trevor Lawrence's mom and speaking of hot moms, Zach Wilson's.
I was trying to find a way to fit that in there, but.
She'll.
need to redo
that. You remember Stacy's mom in
yes,
that video?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. And of course, Dallas at night, which should be a dud. Should be. But I could see him winning like 20-10.
Yeah, I don't care. Win. Just win,
just
baby.
Just win, baby.
Then my Dolphins against the Saints on Monday night.
We'll see if your Dolphins are for real.
That's a pretty interesting game because that's an elimination game and they're not in the same conference.
Yeah.
But somebody's going to walk out of there with a chance to make the playoffs and the other one's going to be pretty well done. So.
Man, kind of wish there was a game tonight. Some bowl games, I think.
Not anymore.
Well, that's right.
Thanks a lot, Hawaii. Take a little gander at the Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Mania leaderboard. That one, whoever that is, text us and tell you who you are. ESPN 495-000-556 is picks. I think it may be Rusty Wilson. Seems like he had a deal like that. I'll ask him if I see him this weekend, if he's involved. 11-4, that's a good record so far, these bowl games. I made a last-minute switch yesterday in one of the games. Devastation. Switching from Miami of Ohio to North Texas.
You know,
I didn't. You know what? I honestly,
North Texas looked good early. I was watching.
I didn't realize that North Texas. When I was making that, I don't even remember acknowledging that that was North Texas. That Miami of Ohio was playing because here's why, because 2 months ago I thought that Seth Luttrell got fired because they were like 1-6.
It's true. He's still.
They won like 5 in a row to get bowl eligible. I heard Todd Furman talking about that yesterday with Mark. And I bought in. I was like, oh, yeah, they won 5 in a row. I think it was that game at Frisco, I think, maybe?
Yeah, that too.
Like a home game.
Yeah, that's why I went with North
and
Texas.
And so I changed
it. They looked good early, and then I turned it off to get stuff done around here, and then I checked it, and they lost.
Oh, here we go. Let's see if that's him. That way we can give credit where credit is due. Not me, 8-7. Darn it. So he's down here.
We need a... Maybe police this a little better. Like, you please have to put a name
in. Oh, yeah, yeah, right here. We'll figure it out. Anyhow, yeah, that was devastating to do that. I did it on another game, too, and it was Western Kentucky. I switched away from them, and that was a horrible choice because their quarterback threw for, like, 18 billion touchdowns, and they just whipped Appy State earlier in the bowl season. I need to quit changing my picks.
Yeah, just go with your gut, man, and don't touch them.
Today? There is a game today.
There is one? I thought there was
No, tomorrow.
Oh.
There was going to be a game. It was going to be Memphis against Hawaii. Tomorrow it's going to be Ball State and Georgia State. I think I may be on the wrong side of that one. I may switch that one before
it kicks off.
By the way, no offense. I know you can get sucked into the percentages picked and get sucked into who the teams were. But if you paid attention to the line of UCF Florida.
Yeah.
And how it moved from beginning to end.
Was it Florida favored? Then
it switched? Started out with Florida as a 6.5-point favorite. I think it kicked off last night with UCF more than a touchdown favorite. So when you could pick UCF plus 6.5 in our game, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is I don't feel sorry for you if you had Florida. because that was just the way that number moved. You had to pick UCF because you were getting like two touchdowns worth of value on the line with the way it, with the way that, like, Florida got a bunch of, they, you know, they got people out of there. They had the coach change, all that stuff. That was one that was almost a gimme. If you paid attention to the way that line moved, if you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
It'd been easy not to. I get that, but that one was that was just like a free early Santa snack in the Western Oklahoma Realty Bowl Mania.
I do love that SEC is 0-2.
They've lost to Army and UCF. I've seen a bunch of people on the Twitter talking about how funny it is the Big 12 is doing so great for UCF beating Florida.
Oh.
The new Big 12?
Yeah.
I would caution them to go back and look just a few days ago when the new Big 12 lost to UAB, that being BYU.
Mm. True.
So I don't know how rip-roaring hot it is so far.
Right. I was looking at the SEC. They got Auburn, Houston. Houston ranked 20th. That's on Tuesday. Mississippi State, Texas Tech. South Carolina, North Carolina. Tennessee, Purdue. Of course, Alabama, Cincinnati, Georgia, Michigan, Arkansas, Penn State, Kentucky, Iowa, Ole Miss, Baylor, LSU, Kansas State. How confident are you they're coming out with the...
They normally do. They win those toss-up games. Who is not excited for Mississippi State Tech?
Oh, man, yeah. Yeah.
Mike Leach, he's already referencing how they still owe him for 2009 at Tech money, millions of dollars.
That's funny.
Did you happen to see, while we're on college football, did you happen to see the video yesterday of the Big Ten coaches?
No.
So all it is just the Big Ten coaches individually, and they're obviously, I don't know if what was going on to make this happen, but they ask them, what's your favorite Christmas movie? Well, that's a simple question, right? That you can surely blurt out an answer.
Yeah.
So they ask, and they're flying through, and it gets to the very end, and Kirk Ferentz, he goes, oh, that's a good one. Man, you stumped me there. I don't have an answer. He didn't even answer the question. I mean, I'm like, what is your life like, Kirk Ferentz, if you can't even muster up an answer to one of the most obvious questions that's coming this time of year? Hey, I mean, we've talked about it a couple times. Hey, Jared, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Yeah.
And he's got nothing. He just kind of giggles and goes, yeah, that's a great, golly, really tough one there. You stumped me.
Yeah, Elf.
I don't have an answer.
Christmas Vacation. You can go on and on.
Craziness. I mean, it was just like.
A Wonderful Life. He's old. He probably likes that one.
Jim Harbaugh did. It was his favorite.
He would.
He's got good taste. What can you say?
Got those, watching those with the Walmart khakis on. And
can't make fun of him anymore.
No, not, well, not this season.
I don't know what to tell you.
Let's wait till next year.
You make it to the playoffs, you kind of get out. You kind of get out of there. You serious, Clark? See, I mean, yeah. I mean, how that just rolls off the tongue. I mean, I don't know how many times during the Christmas season
you quote that movie.
Does yes? I mean, without even trying, it just it's in your vernacular.
Yeah. Apparently, my mother-in-law, who watched our kids last night, me and my wife went out on a little date night, and she played that movie for him.
Oh dear.
And I'm like, was it on TV or did you pop in a DVD and press play? No, she
DVD'd her.
It was a stream or something, but found it and played it. And Katie goes, this is what I'm hearing from my mother-in-law. She hears some of the words, turns around and goes, should I be watching this?
Absolutely.
Oh man.
There's no cover your eyes moments really in that one. I mean, I just last night that we were talking about something, and I was like, just right off the tongue, can't see the line, can you, Russ? Nope. It's a little dry. I mean, we could have had the whole show just quoting Christmas Vacation.
Hey, by the way, I want to give a shout out to Mountain Man's. We went there last night.
Oh yeah,
threw some axes, and it occurred to me I was really really happy that we have the AM back on. After the story you told me about the gentleman that came up.
Slade?
Yeah.
Did you see him?
He was there in a row.
Speaking of mountain man,
yeah,
he's a mountain of a man.
Next to us, and he was chopping wood, man, throwing the shovel. And I thought, I am really glad, Dan.
Well, you got lucky. You got really lucky.
glad I didn't have to deal with that with him holding an axe.
Oh, yeah. All he had was like a butter knife out at the restaurant we were at. You're talking about that big giant dude having an axe.
But that place was busy. Busy, busy.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of pictures from people that were there last night.
A lot of fun. Anyways, and I did horrible. Not like our Thanksgiving.
You kind of figured it out.
I thought I did.
On Thanksgiving.
I couldn't do it. I don't know why. Anyways, kind of went off the beaten path on that one. It was fun. Where do we go next?
Oh, hang on. I'm going to...
Totally random text that has nothing to do with the show.
No, the question was actually, what is the name of your group on the bowl game again? The Bowl Mania?
Well, a little late, but you can definitely jump
in. No. Don't tell him.
Oh, okay. It is
Skinny on Sports.
Yeah.
Sure enough. May add a 24th member to the group here shortly. Okay, here, real quick, and then we'll talk about Christmas in the last segment. With Santa's coming to the station, by the way. We'll recap that. So I look up on ESPN trying to figure out, all right, what are we going to talk about? I don't want to get off on some – I don't want to talk about COVID testing.
Thunder
I don't want to talk about all
Thunder
that.
Thunder gave a good fight.
I don't care about that.
They gave a good fight.
And I come along with this headline, Golden State Warrior Steve Kerr, quote, no team should play road games on Christmas in back-to-back years. And so the poor Warriors had to go to Milwaukee last year on Christmas Day and play on the road. And now this year they got to go to Phoenix. Poor guys have to go to Phoenix to play on the road on Christmas. And it was just, if you actually watch them this season, I mean, I know a lot of people don't watch as much NBA basketball as they did 4 years ago around these parts. But if you'll watch them, they are exceedingly fun to watch. They're back more to the pre-Durant Warriors. They're very, very good, but, you know, you feel like, okay, there's a chance to beat them versus the with Durant Warriors that was just like, okay, the season's over before it ever starts, right? They are so much fun to watch. The ball moves, they shoot, they pass, they're fast. It's great fun to watch. It's really is awesome basketball. Especially for the NBA, when a lot of times it's more of a grind in it and it's not as much fun. These guys, it is so much fun. You know, Curry with the 3-point record and all this. But here comes Steve Kerr. Dude, you just got the Olympic coaching job. Try to be cool for like a week.
No, he can't.
But he can't.
He can't.
He is such a wine bag. No wonder MJ punched you in the face, bro. You were probably whining about where he bought you dinner the night before on the road, and MJ got fed up with it and dotted your eye. I wish he'd have broke your nose. God, so annoying for Steve Kerr. And then, of course, Draymond has to chime in. Yeah, I know. We need to be playing at home.
Draymond's the biggest jackhole of Steve compared to Steve Kerr. I can't stand. I know they're fun to watch, but I can't stand them off the court.
But it reminds you how easy it is to not like them.
No, they're not likable. They're not. And he needs to be wearing like a Grinch outfit during the Christmas game tomorrow.
And then of course once that starts bugging you, you know what really starts bugging you? Then when you're watching them, all of a sudden Steph chewing on his mouthpiece outside his mouth isn't near. Hey, Steph. COVID, bro. Keep that thing in between on your teeth, okay?
Really?
That doesn't even be dripping around on other people. If you would. I don't know. I just, when I saw the headline, I was like, God, cannot stand Steve Kerr. Maybe it's just Steve Kerr.
It is, yeah.
Maybe it's Steve Kerr more than the Warriors, but since he's the coach, it's going to filter into the whole team. But it's just it's just annoying. God, it's annoying.
It is. It is. And as fun as they are to watch, they are that much easier to root against.
They really are. I mean, I think it would be a blast, and that game's going to happen tomorrow in Phoenix, Golden State and Phoenix. I think that would be a fun series because they both play a fun style of hoops. Mm-hmm. You know, it may take 120 to win those games in a Western Conference Finals. That would be great. And the whole world would be rooting for Chris Paul and the dadgum Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants that wine bag to win.
Exactly.
You know, part of me feels sorry for Steph because he's going to take – he hasn't really done anything wrong ever as far as making you not like him other than being really, 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 really good. The chewing on the mouthpiece thing is a little annoying, but you can get past that. But when he gets lumped in with Steve Kerr and Draymond, sorry about your luck, buddy.
Yeah.
Nice behind-the-back pass to lose the finals that year against Cleveland. All right, Jared, what are you doing? What are you doing for the Christmas weekend?
Not a lot of travel because all the family's right here, but going to my dad's tonight, having Christmas with him and his wife and her family. We'll do a little cornhole tournament, playing some left, right, center with quarters. I don't know why not dollars, but with quarters.
Thanks a lot, Biden.
I'd prefer
inflation hit us and we got to play with quarters.
Well,
now.
Hold on to that thought. So, and then, you know, having dinner and opening presents and then come home, you know, do the whole Christmas Eve thing, you know, preparing for Santa. And you mentioned Christmas Vacation. That's my wife and I's tradition on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
We pop in that movie, pop some bubbly, and get Christmas ready. And then wake up Christmas morning and have the traditional kids going crazy, tearing in the presents. And then Christmas Day, we're going to go over to my brother-in-law's. Or later Christmas Day, we're going to have dinner. And we're going to play left, right, center with dollars.
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Now, my wife, I kind of jokingly said, ha, we should be playing with 20s. She goes, I really wanted to play with fives. Like, really? She goes, no, but no one would go for that. So we're doing dollars. So.
Well, I mean, listen.
The dang, honey, you're getting, she's bleeding me dry.
Let's win something here.
Last night I took her out to dinner. We said went to Mountain Man's. Now she's wanting to lose money at left, right, center.
No,
she's still confident she's winning.
She's wanting to win money.
She's wanting to win.
And she's wanting to make
it. Let's just go to Vegas.
Make it worth
her effort. Let's go to Vegas for Christmas. Let's just go to Vegas for Christmas if we're going to be willing to gamble here.
I mean, you're talking about how many people will play left, right, center at Jason
the,
and Jamie's?
At the in-laws? Well, Jason, Jamie, me, Allie, mother-in-law.
Gwen.
I think they'll be there.
I saw her just the other day.
And maybe Jimmy. And I don't know about Jason's brother-in-law's sister-in-law. I don't know. Oh, I'm sure Brennan will be there. I'm sure we'll have a good amount.
So 7-8?
Something like that.
Something like that?
Yeah. Something like
that.
Well,
I mean, it's 6-1 on your money.
Hey, listen, you know why I'm a winner?
Because you're not playing? Because you're not risking?
No, no. The food over there? Holy moly.
Oh, I bet that's right.
Yeah. So.
I bet that's right. But still, risking $15 to win $90, it's a pretty good return.
That's a good return.
Pretty good return. The problem is there's zero skill in that game. You roll the dice and it tells you what to do.
Exactly. There is no skill.
Now, you can't, like, bluff anybody out of their money or whatever.
No.
Like, it's not poker.
No.
It's just dice game.
I've seen some people get heated over
this. Oh, listen.
Oh, I'm like, what are you getting mad about? You can do nothing about your outcome. It's just the luck of the roll of the dice.
There was one. There was a – I'm talking like the – like two long rectangle tables worth in the Christmas party I was at on Monday playing that game. And it was wild. Our family one gets pretty wild on Thanksgiving when everybody gets together. It's like, oh, my gosh. Then there's always a song when somebody – what was the game when you got eliminated? Oh, gosh. Because left, right, center, you're kind of always in until it's over.
Yeah, even if you're out of dollars or coins or whatever, you don't give up because
you're
it
always,
can come back to you.
That's right. But there was another one we used to play. I can't remember what it was. And when you got eliminated, the whole family would sing – no, 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 no. And rub it in.
Brutal.
And rub it in for losing.
Brutal.
We're going
to. I got a cheery Christmas picture sent to me. Can I get your reaction on air?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Remember the movie A Christmas Story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, dear Lord.
Merry Christmas, Aaron.
Wow. All right, so that's not great.
My wife did not send that to me.
Oh, yeah, Tyler's right.
What's that?
I don't know if I can say that on the air. What the name of the game was called.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
What do you do?
I'm shook. Let's see. I'm hoping to play golf today. I don't know if anybody – listen.
Oh, man.
Here's the problem with some of the guys.
Let's go wind.
It's going to be 85 on Christmas Eve. Whatever. We're out there for 3 hours. Here
at 50 mile per hour wind gusts.
Yeah, but here's the truth of it. When you get down there on the back nine, you're kind of down near the creek on 15. It really only sucks like for a few holes on the front and then the last two. Or last three. Going up the hill on 16, once you get to the green, then teeing off on 17. It's howling up there, sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's 85. It's Christmas Eve.
I get it.
You don't get this chance very much. But the problem is, I'm afraid the group that I like to play with is going to be a lot more on your line of thinking than mine. So I don't know what's going to happen. Going to have some of the greatest spaghetti that's ever made tonight. We're always invited over to... a lady's house that makes spaghetti for my aunt's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Aunt Cheryl, on the 24th. She's a Christmas Eve baby. So
awesome.
We all get together when we can, and Wyatt's not with us this year, so we can. We'll go over there and have spaghetti. We're going to stay here with Mom, wake up in the morning, and do the – there's a lot of pressure on me this year, Jared. A lot of pressure on me.
Cooking pressure?
Yes.
Ooh.
Because the Christmas Day brunch for the last, let's see, my folks moved out to the golf course in 2012. So probably about the last 6 or 7 years.
Uh-huh.
The Christmas Day brunch tradition has been Eggs Benedict.
Ooh.
And so you're talking about making hollandaise sauce, poaching eggs.
Yeesh.
And I've never done it. I just kind of sit there and watch Chuck
just
do it.
Just watch him do it.
That's right.
Well...
we commandeered a egg poaching pan.
Yeah.
From my father-in-law last night. Left it there. So I don't know that we actually commandeered it.
Tried.
Tried to. And then I think there's going to be golf tomorrow for a few people, which I will definitely be a part of. The wind's not supposed to be as bad.
Tomorrow's supposed to be better.
And then after that, Wyatt will be back Sunday around noon or whatever, and then we'll see what Santa brought and go to my mother-in-law's on Sunday before we...
Great.
We're still not going to have anything at my mom's because my sister's gone. I don't know when we're going to do that. The father-in-law's on Wednesday, so be watching the game there. The Alamo Bowl.
That's right. All right.
So hopefully 2 rounds of golf. We'll just see what everybody else is doing.
Hey, it's not bad if you can do it. I worry about this wind, though.
Here's a pretty cool picture from last Christmas. It really is a cool picture. See that Santa?
Yeah.
I won that over my two sisters. It's now it resides at my house.
Speaking of games, we used to play. We haven't done this in forever. We used to play bingo. We had the balls in the,
oh, yeah,
in the cage thing and roll them and pull out and talk about. And the task was everybody bring a gift for the prize table. For
yes,
bingo, but yes. It was like bring a gag gift. You see what I'm saying?
If I were you, I'd print off that picture you showed me, and that could be a gag gift.
Well, kids are involved, so I probably shouldn't. But you know our horse race trophy?
Yes.
That's where that came from.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. This little horse holding a golf club, and I thought, what am I ever going to do with this? And then when I came here and heard about the horse race, that this might be a cool trophy. But we'll have like gag gifts like that.
Yeah, what was I going to say? I was going to finish off with something funny, and it just slipped out of my mind.
Must not have been that funny.
Oh,
you
man.
Know what I'm needing? You know what I'm getting you for Christmas?
Oh, I know what it was.
Headphones.
Nah, these are fine.
Your taped up headphones are so sad.
They're good, though. They still work. They're fine. Don't worry about that. Last question. And maybe we should ask Santa when he comes here in about an hour. Should we be giving him the normal milk and cookies? Or should we be having, like, carrot sticks, celery sticks, and Gatorade to keep him hydrated because
yeah,
it's going to be so hot?
Some pickle juice, mustard. That's a great question. Maybe some sunblock. Well, I guess he's at night. That's a great question.
And some Gatorade.
I worry about him and his flying reindeer
beef jerky
in this wind, man. You mentioned that. That's.
Listen.
I hope he can make some safe landings.
I'm thinking Santa's going to need to have been working out, trying to keep those reins
yeah,
parallel so that the wind doesn't flip the sleigh over.
Ooh.
I'd hate for your present to end up in my front yard.
I have no idea what I'm getting, so tell me when it gets there.
Okay. Well, it probably won't. But hopefully it's not closed because I'll have to give it back and won't fit me. All right, everybody have a Merry Christmas. Santa's coming here, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Santa and Bernard.
On our sister station.
KECO. Call 225-9697. The kiddos can talk to Santa. 225-9697. Remember, 9697. No one's going to answer the other lines. 9697. Everybody have a Merry Christmas.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way!